We are, though, joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo Game Day, be delicious. And guests are brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. What's going on, Baldy? Good to talk to you, man.
Hello. Good to be with you, everybody, here. Nice to see you there on this little Twitch link or Zoom link, whatever this is.
You are on Twitch 670 via Zoom, I believe. So you got it. Okay. You got it all right, Baldy.
All right.
Baldy, I'm so excited to talk to you. I'm a big fan of yours. Love listening to you on all these airwaves, including here every week with Molina Hall. Huge fan of yours. So
I
guess my first question to you is just kind of, I actually saw you from a distance in DC. I'm just curious, after kind of witnessing that one in person, do you think that carried it all into Arizona?
I don't think so, Ruth. Look, players and coaches, we live like fruit flies. We live in 7-day life cycles. And I think Arizona is a good team. They don't beat themselves. And they don't turn the ball over. They don't give you extra opportunities. And, you know, if you give them the opportunities for big plays like they did at the end of the first half, I don't know, their safeties were in Las Vegas and they're blitzing the slot corner. And they just gave DeMarcado all this space. And, you know, they got stung by it. But they've been guilty of doing dumb things like that against Washington. So I just honestly think they're just a very average football team at this point. You look at their wins, they're all against, outside of the Rams, and when they beat the Rams, they were a 2-win team, and they're beating up on the bad teams like Tennessee right now, and, you know, like Carolina and Jacksonville. And they see a team that is a pretty good football team and do things really well. They seem to struggle, and that's what I think they did against Arizona. I hope they didn't take them lightly. I mean, anybody that's watched Arizona play the last 2 years, you know this about them. They're very well coached, and they don't beat themselves. And they didn't. And that's what it looked like against Chicago on Sunday.
It's a really bad sign, Brian, if you're saying that the Bears are a very average team, and you said correctly, they did beat up on the bad teams. It's a bad sign because after this week against New England, another bad team, they have Green Bay, Minnesota, at Detroit, at San Francisco, on and on and on. Question is, when you look at this roster, do you think that they have the potential to become a good team or a better team? Because they're not going to beat these teams that I just mentioned if they're not a good team.
No, they're not. The offensive line isn't a playoff team right now. I mean, they're playing, they've got the five best they have, but they're not a playoff team by the offensive line. The quarterback is, look, I mean, you have to be more accurate with the football than what Caleb is right now. And the receivers and the offense has to make a lot more sense than it does. And so they're asking these receivers to go win one-on-ones. I saw Max Melton and Garrett Williams and, you know, Thomas. I saw him, like, cover these receivers like it was nobody's business the other day. There's still breakdowns in the passing game. And so, you know, they've lost some really key players on defense. Billings and Montez didn't play. And so the ranks are thin up front. And so James Conner and that offensive line, they just, you know, they steamrolled them right there. And they seemed a little helpless to stop it. But that's what Detroit is capable of doing. That's what Josh Jacobs can do. That's what the Vikings and Aaron Jones can do. Like, all those teams are capable of doing that right now.
Did you say that the wide receivers are not winning their one-on-one battles right now? Is that on the receivers? Because we're going back and forth here, Baldy, trying to figure out, is it Caleb Williams? Is it the receivers? Is it a lack of chemistry? Right now, is that what you're seeing? The wide receivers are just not getting open enough?
It didn't look like they were open to me. I saw Max Melton, a second-round pick out of Rutgers, have no problem with his receivers that were in front of him. And so, you know, if your receivers aren't getting open, where there's real separation. Now, when they were, I mean, look, Caleb has been off 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
So you can find a play here or play there that looks like NFL worthy. But by and large, it doesn't look like an NFL offense right now. It doesn't, like, they don't really help Caleb out with creating space for the receivers or giving them the opportunity to find space. And so if you're just running down the field to try to win their one-on-ones, I don't know. I'd give the win to the Arizona defensive backs in that game last week.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Baldy, I'm curious how much of what you were just talking about is on Shane Waldron. Like, what is the identity of this offense right now? And is he doing enough to make it easy on his quarterback?
Well, did Cole Kmet play last week?
No like, targets. Zero.
Ugh, we just talked about it for 30 minutes.
But I mean, for real, though. Yeah. I mean, that's on the offensive coordinator. I mean, yeah. I've seen Travis Kelce in the last 2 weeks get targeted 28 times, and he caught 20 passes for 190 yards and a touchdown. Like, sometimes you just got to go, this is a good player. Like, he's a big guy that catches the ball well. He's, he's a difficult guy to defend because of his size. Like, after watching the game, go, Cole Kmet was the star, like, last week, the week before. At least in London he was, wherever that game was. Like, two touchdowns, and, you know, they called some good plays for him, and he executed. But, like, I don't know, your tight end, if your receivers aren't winning on the outside, your next option is, all right, what's the tight end doing? You know, what are we doing in the screen game? Let's get some completions. And that's on the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to diversify your offense. I kind of get it from Caleb's standpoint, I think, Baldy, because he wants to, and everybody in Chicago forever has wanted to see a consistent down-the-field passing game. And you've got this trio of talented wide receivers. Nobody should be excused for Cole Kmet not getting targeted one single time. And we saw in a 2-touchdown game this year for Cole Kmet how valuable he can be. But part of me, from a rookie quarterback's perspective, I understand what Caleb is trying to do. All of this to say, and I hate to ask this question, and Ruthie brought it up, do the Bears need to simplify the offense for Caleb Williams?
I don't think that's the answer. I do think, though, that there's things they can do to, whether it's bunch formations or man beaters or just the things that other teams do, clear outs and dragging somebody into the opening. I do think there's things they can do where Caleb can drop back, hit his third step or fifth step, get the ball out of his hands. And not like bubble screens and things like that, but like real, like, you know, you watch Josh Allen and you watch what he's doing with Joe Brady. I mean, I can find 10 completions that all of us could probably complete. But it was by the play design that allowed those things to happen. Now, he makes all these plays on his own as well. But, I think that you could help your quarterback out. I mean, I know Cliff Kingsbury does to Jaden, and, you know, he still has a golden touch on the deep ball and does some amazing things with his feet. But you still can see some completions. You go, okay, a rookie quarterback can complete that. I can see, you know, Bo Nix, he missed some shots last week against Baltimore, but you can see the completions, you know, start to add up with what Sean Payton's doing. And I thought I was seeing that with Shane and the receivers for a couple of weeks when they had stacked a couple of wins. But that was against bad teams that don't rush the passer particularly well. And so maybe that was a little bit of a disguise right there because of who they went against. But I do think that it's a mix of everything right now. And the quarterback simply doesn't look comfortable. And when he is, like, he knows where he's got to put the ball. But there's still breakdowns. I mean, DJ's running a go route. And, you know, the quarterback's throwing a conversion route. And you just wonder after 9 weeks, why is that even going on?
Yeah. And Baldy, I mean, obviously you have the Patriots this weekend. I think the assumption is that they should win that game. Like you mentioned, that they've been able to beat up on bad teams. But then, you know, we talked about the schedule. I guess, are you surprised that it still looks like this at this point in the season?
Yeah, a little bit. It doesn't, you can't really claim right now that they have an identity. Like, they know where the, like, for example, like, by 9 weeks, you should go, okay, red zone, this is what we're good at. This is where the ball is going. Third down and three, okay, Keenan Allen on a shake route. Like, you can, I don't know what it's designed to do at this point. I can pretty much tell you what the Rams do and what the Eagles do and what Detroit does best and how they're going to move the ball. I can't really say that about Chicago right now.
To the defense, that's what we heard you talking about. coming into the segment here, Brian, and you know, you kind of, I mean, it's a rough indictment when, you know, inferring from what you said right there and paraphrasing, is like the Bears defense was out toughed, for lack of better phraseology, going into the game. And please tell me that Montez Sweat not being available that day meant that much to the Bears defense, because if it was all Montez Sweat not being out there, then this Bears defense is not as good as I thought it was.
Well, that's true. That's true. You can never say one player makes that kind of difference. You're dressing eight defense linemen for a reason. They're going to rotate. There's going to be plays, if Montez was healthy, that he's not going to be out there for 20% of the plays or 25% of the plays. So you can't, that's not a good excuse. Like, to stop the run, honestly, it's just gap integrity. Just go back and remember the glory days of Urlacher and Briggs and how they stopped the run every week, what they did to do it. You know, I mean, it's just run fits. You know, you're supposed to be in your gap. You're in your gap. You hold your gap. I mean, there's just basic mentality right there to stop the run. And they just keep giving up these big explosive runs. Like I said, you know, to give up that run before the half like they did is inexcusable. I honestly don't know what they were doing, why you would blitz on that situation off the slot. Like, I don't know what that was all about. Maybe they thought they were going to throw a short pass to get in field goal range. I don't know. But regardless, nobody should run that far in that part of the game against any defense. And if you think you're a good defense and you keep giving up these explosive runs like they have to Tony Pollard, you go through the list of all the big ones they've given up so far this year, like, that's a bad sign.
You mentioned Andrew Billings, who's having pectoral surgery. He's going to be out for probably the season. Jaquan Brisker is going to miss another week with the concussion. I guess, how concerned are you about the injuries on the defense that's really was playing lights out up until last week?
I think Billings is going to be hard to, you know, I think he's going to be hard to replace. I know, you know, they've got guys on the roster, but he's a really big, wide body that was hard to move, that was the foundation to, you know, TJ Edwards and the guys making all the tackles that they were. I don't know that they have another player on the roster that can do that. Most teams don't. Most teams don't have, you know, Jervon is fine because he's a little more athletic. He can penetrate a little bit better, a little better pass rusher. But honestly, like, they don't really have another anchor like that. And every good defense against the run has a good anchor. The teams that don't play the run well, they're missing that piece. And that's a problem around the league right now.
Brian, last question for you. One thing that we've all been trying to figure out here is, where is the connection specifically between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore? The volume has been low except for one game this year. Is there anything that you've seen in the film room to try to figure out what is going on with those two and their on-field chemistry?
Well, he's clearly frustrated. I mean, you can't walk off the field while the play is going on. You can't do that. I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't know what he thinks. He's like, I'm not sure who he thinks he is. You know, like, to honestly, your only job, honestly, for receivers, I don't know, honestly, what they do some days, because all they should be doing all day is working to get open. I don't care if it's a Tuesday walkthrough or what it is. Like, your only job is to get open and catch the ball. That's it. If you can add in the blocking game, that helps, you know. But honestly, your job is to get open. And the only way you get open is if you make every route look important. Even if you're on the backside, like, you can't loaf on a screen. Like, you can't do that. Like, that's not allowed. If you run that corner off, that screen might have a chance to go to the house. But if you're just out there lollygagging around, that's not good football. You know, Davante Adams isn't doing that. Like, he's frustrated in New York, but he's not lollygagging out there when he's not getting the ball. That guy's working to get open. That's what the good ones do. He's averaging 10 yards a catch. The one thing you could always say about DJ coming out of Maryland, playing in Carolina, he was excellent after the catch. Like, he was a running back that broke tackles and had breakaway speed.
And he was last year, too. He was great last year, too.
To 10 yards a catch. Like, if that was next to my name and I was DJ Moore, I would be waking up ticked off every day.
Very interesting. Great stuff, Baldy. We appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed being on Twitch. It seemed like that was a big deal for you. It seemed like you were very excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, Twitch, Zoom, like whatever we can do to get face to face.
I love it, man.
It's great seeing you, Brian. I appreciate your time as always.
Thanks, Baldy.
Okay. Yep. See you.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. What? You like when I say that?
Is Will Levis coming to town? Isn't he Mr. Mayo?
He is Mr. Mayo.
Yeah.